Shalom, everyone, and welcome to the next edition of CBA's Parasha Podcast. I'm Rabbi David Kornberg. I am here with Rabbi Ern, and today we are talking about Parashat Vayeshev. Vayeshev actually begins a story that will take us all the way to the end of the book of Genesis. It is the story of Joseph. It's a story we know very, very well from Andrew Lloyd Webber and Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. And what we learn about in Parashat Vayeshev is actually the story of young Joseph. And what's always interested me about young Joseph is it seems that he's got everything. Mm-hmm. And frankly, he knows it. And he shows it,
yeah.
Right?
Yep.
You know, he's not the most tactful of people. Right. He was definitely daddy's favorite and got the coat of many colors. He has this incredible ability to understand and interpret dreams. And he then, you know, lords that over his brothers and even his father and mother in one of the dreams, right? Saying that they would all bow down to him. And here we have this young rising star, so to speak. And what we've found and what we've always known about Joseph is that while he starts way, way up high, he actually winds up going very, very low before he comes back up again. And we see this arc that has always carried us through the Joseph story of winding up in jail and having everything taken away from him. But in our discussion, Rabbi Aaron, you had found something earlier and some sources earlier that show that actually, the Joseph that we think and the way we see him may not actually be where he was at. And maybe the Torah is trying to teach us something a little bit different about that early Joseph as well.
Yes. I love how you phrase that it seems that things are going so well for him. And how could it be that he is now going to go down? I think that relates to us because in our day and age, it's so easy, not our day and age, in our lives, we see someone be extremely successful, and therefore we assume they have everything, they know everything, and they are where they want to be. But as you and I know, right, in our pastoral work, right, that we're all incomplete, and we all, every individual has their own areas of struggle. This is demonstrated in a beautiful pasuk in the parasha, in the case of Joseph, verse 15, Vaymtza'ehu ish, so he has just been sent by his father to go and find his other brothers. This is the parting of ways. They're not going to see each other until like the end of Genesis. And Joseph leaves his father. He's on his way. And he finds an ish. No one, we don't know the name. Vihine to'e basade. And what is Joseph doing? This man finds Joseph to'e basade. The Hebrew word is to'e is wandering. When else do we see To'ah? A couple of other times, but what I'm thinking about is in Shemot, when you see your neighbor's ox or cattle wandering, you are to find its owner, even if it's your enemy, right? So To'ah hints at someone that is wandering or is lost. So here's Joseph that we believe has everything, but self-described to the Torah hints to us, actually, he's lost. And the question is, what is he looking for? The Torah continues, verse 16, Vayomer et achai enochi mevakesh, right? What am I looking for? My brothers, mevakesh. Like that is my, it's not just I'm looking for them, but I am mevakesh, right? I am in need of them. I am requiring them. So with all these wonderful things going on for Joseph, right? What we find out is actually he's incomplete because he misses his relationships.
Yeah, I mean, look, he seems to have everything, but the more we learn about that early Joseph, it's only when he looks at himself does he see everything, right? It's all focused on what I've got, and at that point in time, it may appear that he's got everything, but really and truly, you know, what was his relationship like with his father, given the fact that his father probably felt all of the tension that these kids had? And yes, he loved Joseph, but he loved Joseph The question is, did he love Joseph because of Joseph, or did he love Joseph because of Joseph's mother? Mm. Right? And was what was their relationship really like? We don't know. So even that relationship, we say, oh, this father-son relationship was so great. Maybe not. Mm-hmm. Maybe not. And certainly, he had 12 or 12 total, but he had all of these siblings that were there, and he had no positive relationship with them. And so this idea of him out, him looking, him searching, is very, very powerful. And I like that a lot. And To'eh, the question is, right, does that have any connection with ta'ut, which is an error and a mistake, mm-hmm. right, as well? Mm-hmm. He thought that he had everything. Mm-hmm. And in fact, there was a ta'ut. He had nothing. Like, I mean, all of these subtleties are really interesting there. For me, I guess the question, Rabbi Ern, that I would ask you is, like, so what is the Torah trying to teach us here? Like, what's the lesson in all of this? And how does that lesson then tie into the rest of Joseph's story? Because there's a couple possibilities as I'm thinking about in my mind, yeah. but I'd like to kind of hear where you're at.
I have two answers that I'm thinking about. The first is, one of the things that I often see in the book of Genesis, or I'm told about it, that I think is there, but then it's not 100% the case. It's like a gloss, but not the real truth, is, oh, Genesis is all about conflict, right? It's all about family conflict and family strife. And isn't it great that we have family strife because the Torah validates it? And yes, there is lots of strife, and the Torah is written about real human beings, and we can relate that to our own lives. But there's also a deep motif in the Torah that doesn't just accept strife, but encourages us to try to resolve that strife. Now, sometimes we cannot do that, right? And the Torah can be more idyllic, right, than our own lives. But nevertheless, there's discomfort with strife, and as we shift to the end of Genesis, we all of a sudden start seeing a motif of, okay, now we've got to start teaching family how to be family and how to work together. And perhaps that's one thing the Torah is trying to teach us. The other thing that I get from this is, the Torah, what is Genesis trying to do? It's trying to bring out two ideas that we as the reader are going to live in relationship with. One is God. We have God, and we have a relationship. God has a message for us. God speaks to us through the Torah. But even though you could say us as the people of Israel, like, there's something personal. Like when God speaks to Abraham, and then I have to listen for God's voice in my life, and God speaks to all the patriarchs and the matriarchs, there's something about I should have a relationship with God. At the same time, we're learning how the Torah is trying to teach us, how does humanity get along with each other? How does family get along with each other? So it's trying to introduce me two types of relationships that I think are in tension. If I have a relationship with God and I am special because I'm made in God's image, right, that gives me a lot of courage, and it can also give me a sense of ownership and power. There's a little bit of Joseph in those dreams that, hey, I'm Jewish, I'm made in the image of God, all should respect me. And yet if we all live with that type of mentality, right, that we are so special because God speaks to us, then it challenges us to be able to, in humility, work with others that we are living with in our world.
I like that. I like those connections. You know, as I was thinking about it, for me, there were also sort of two pieces. The first piece is, I love a well-crafted story. Mm-hmm. And I think Joseph is one of the best. Mm-hmm. And the fact that there is this foreshadowing, mm-hmm. kind of hidden into the text, just shows how amazingly well-crafted this story is, right? And the subtleties and all of the twists and turns are so well thought out as we go through. But for me, you know, it goes back to something that you said earlier, which is, appearances are very deceiving. Mm-hmm. And we all look at Joseph, and I think Joseph looked at himself as if he had everything, mm-hmm. because that's what he saw. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until we start to understand what he feels, mm-hmm. and he understands what he feels, and we're going to see that in the parshiot to come, right. these decisions that he has to make, and ultimately the emotional catharsis that he has at the end of this story when everybody comes back together again. It isn't until he's able to recognize those feelings that he begins to realize how lost he truly is, and how disconnected and separate he truly is. And it's one of the things that I think challenge us as human beings, right? Is we're so caught between the physical world and the emotional world that sometimes we feel that one really speaks for the other. And we have to look at both, right? You started to say at the beginning, we have everything. We're wealthy, we're healthy, mm-hmm. you know, but there's something missing in our life. Mm-hmm. And until we acknowledge that emotional side of us, we're not going to be whole and we're not going to be complete. And by the way, I think there are people that are emotionally very, you know, stable and strong and whatever, but there is something missing mm-hmm. in their life. And it's the external stuff that they can't control. And we have to find in our life that balance. And we're just starting, as we go through with Joseph here, to see this roller coaster ride that he's going to take. But interestingly enough, already in the very first parsha, the very first part of our story, the seeds of it are all there.
Yeah, thank you, Rabbi Kornberg. You talk a lot about that Joseph is not in need of... Joseph is struggling to understand what his emotional needs are, right? And until he understands that, he is going to be lost. And he is such a great example for us. You know, I think about our community. We like to present ourselves as Joseph. We like to see others as Joseph, as just as having everything, right? Everyone's loved. Everyone is and one of our challenges, I think, and it's not unique to our community, but I think it's true for many a Jewish synagogue, right, is to allow ourselves to be incomplete, right? To show that we're not just a place for people that have everything, right? That every blessing they desire is there, right? But it's a community, it's a place of struggle, it's a place of incompletion, right? Like we leave our Joseph presenting at the door, right? And then when you walk into our space, that's where the internal work is done. That's where we can explore, you know, what are our needs? You know, how do we manage, you know, with our limitations, right? That's really where the divine work is found. And in the beginning of this parasha, you look at Joseph as if he is someone who does not have those needs, right? There's no work for Joseph to do because he's got all those blessings. But in actuality, right, his story begins not with the blessing of his father, but when he says, Hineni, like, I'm ready to go on this journey, right, to understand what it is that I'm truly in need of.
Yeah, his acknowledgement of God's presence and of those needs really almost can't happen while he's so focused on everything else. And sometimes, that's not to say that anybody is looking for suffering, looking for hardship in our life, but the reality is that it's those moments of challenge that sometimes we learn the most mm-hmm. About ourselves, about other people, and what our true needs are. Well, my friends, thank you for joining us on this week's Parsha. We hope to see you either live or online at services, and we will catch you next week.